It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Marcus Young back with you for another 60 minutes or so doing the thing. Top 5 at 5 brought to you by G&J Auto. Hey, tomorrow's our last free window tint Wednesday of the year. So go to fanrunradio.com/tint. Get registered for that if you aren't already. You could win fabulous gifts and prizes right here on Fan Run tomorrow. A couple chances for you to win. Marcus, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, World Cup going on as the United States defeats Iran 1-0 and moves forward.
It's a final now.
They will be playing the Netherlands on Saturday, 9 a.m. Also, World Cup news from today. Senegal defeats Ecuador 2-1. Netherlands knock out Qatar 2-0.
Senegal advances.
Senegal.
What did I say?
Senegal.
Senegal.
You're so weird. A couple Chelsea boys, Edouard Mendy, their keeper, and Kalidou Koulibaly advancing off Senegal. I'm a big fan.
England defeats Wales 3-0. Got a goal from Man City.
So they
Phil
will,
Foden.
Yeah, they will have to play against Senegal.
Yes. At number two, Hooker, along with Caleb Williams and C.J. Stroud, was named a finalist for the Maxwell Award as the top player.
Yay.
It was announced today along with finalists for most of the other awards that will be presented on December 8th. Let's see if got Jalen Hyatt, obviously, is for the Blitnikoff. Honestly, should win that one. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. How well he's played this year.
I mean, I'll be surprised if he does. This is the first time we've ever had a finalist, right?
For the Maxwell?
No, for Blitnikoff. We've never had anybody as a finalist. Yeah, no, I saw it. Somebody pointed it out earlier multiple times.
Wide Tennessee receiver used, never had a finalist? How many finalists are there?
There's three. For this year, they got Marvin Harrison Jr., which was expected. One that I was surprised by was Xavier Hutchinson out of Iowa State. Thought he played well, but I would have expected, I can't think of his name all of a sudden, the guy from TCU.
Yeah.
Johnson, I think.
I would have thought that Joey Kent or Marcus Nash in 95, 96, 97 would have gone.
Peerless or one of those guys?
Yeah.
Nope.
Huh.
It's pretty wild, isn't it? It surprised
me.
Hyatt's
a nice player, man. I hope he's got a legitimate case to win that thing, too.
Glad to see that. And also just Hendon getting some recognition as well for the Maxwell. Obviously, I think people realize how important he is to this team. At number three, unfortunate news for the coal miners of Kentucky is they have fired OC Rich Scangarello after one season.
What happened there? Because the previous guy was Liam. What was that guy? No, now I'm thinking Oasis. Who? It was Liam something. Liam Cook, maybe?
No, it's not Cook. Gnome. Liam Gnome.
Liam Cohen.
Liam Cohen. He went to. He's McVay's guy now, right?
Yeah.
With the Rams?
Yeah, he went to the Rams, which they're not doing very well either.
And their offense was much better last year. And then they bring in another guy. Yes. They bring in another guy from the NFL to basically keep things going, and he was just awful compared to Cohen.
Somebody had a really good point, though. A lot of it, I mean, I know he's – you're going to give Stoops a complete pass on the way he wants to play not to lose games?
Yeah. No, but there was obviously a difference in their system, play calling, and production this year.
Yeah, they lost Wendell Robinson in the majority of their offensive line, and that quarterback that everybody thinks is the second coming of Joe Montana really isn't that good.
You put it all down to the player. You don't think it's the coaching was any different.
I mean, not once he started – I mean, once he got the turf toe and started getting knocked around again, I don't think he's a very good quarterback.
I think their offense was also like coached poorly as well, though. I think it's a good mixture. I mean,
There's a lot of blame to go around up there.
His offense produced the fewest points per game in the SEC, 22.08. So it's pretty bad. Number four, NBA ref Tony Brothers was forced to miss one game for the remarks towards Spencer Dinwiddie. I can't repeat what he said.
The ref cursed out a player?
Yes. Yes, he did. There was a situation with Spencer Dinwiddie during the brought the situation to light over the win that they had over the Raptors. He was whistled for a technical in the second quarter after telling Brothers that wasn't an effing penalty.
Penalty?
Or foul. Yeah, sorry. I'm thinking soccer still a little bit. Leading to the veteran referee calling Dinwiddie a B-A-M-F-er. I don't know what all I can say.
A badass MF-er?
But that's a good thing to call somebody.
No. Female dog.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. The referee called the player that?
Yes.
Well, that's unprofessional.
It's a good way to get, you know.
I'm going to kick your ass, exactly. Mr. Official.
I'd be real careful.
Yeah, that was so. It was an interview of some teammates as well. So it was missing some time for that, Mr. Brothers.
Yeah, I would say,
especially for a veteran ref, you'd think he would have known better. And finally, at number five, I liked our little game of like charades and figuring out what curse words was used. Number five, two people are rescued from a plane that crashed into a Maryland transmission tower.
Yeah, this is on Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the crash took place around 5:30 p.m. It's the sent the plane into a tower near Rothbury Drive, where the they were stranded. In the photo's incredible. The plane literally in
the people can't see the picture.
He's showing me. It's
talking to Russell.
So it got hung up in a big tower.
One of those big high tension towers.
The passengers were stranded for hours while suspended almost 100 feet in the air.
7 hours. Couldn't move.
I have recurring bad dreams. You have recurring bad dreams?
Yeah.
I have recurring bad dreams where I'll be flying in a plane or a helicopter, and I'll be going like underneath a bridge or big electrical wires.
And you hit them?
No, I never hit them. I always think I'm going to hit them, but I don't. What do you think that's about?
I don't know. I saw a LifeStar hit a guide wire taking off when I was ended up stuck in traffic right behind a absolutely horrendous car crash on 640.
You want to psychoanalyze my dreams since Bear just totally ignored me trying to be vulnerable for our public audience, Marcus?
Yeah, let me see if I can do my best with it. I'd say that you're a little bit stressed. Could be due to the World Cup.
I'm talking about like throughout my life for years. This has been a
spot on. Step back, Marcus.
Hold on, please. No, you
I've got
back.
My doctor's coat
he's
on.
Got,
now.
He,
I think
he's
got
to
some feelings of
if it's been
of abandonment from and you know because one of your parents maybe
because I'm going under the bridges.
Yeah,
what do the bridges represent?
Strength, protection.
What?
That has
then why would I be abandoned?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Shut up. Marcus, please get
stress. I feel like a lot of it is due to stress.
I feel like that's
did
true.
It start?
Well, so what stress did he have when he was 4 years old and started having this dream, Marcus?
Man, it started at four. Would you let the man finish? Grief.
Is it possible it started around the time where a certain person started working behind the board?
You want to – what?
Yes, Bear is the – wires that I'm attempting to
you're dead to me
fly underneath recklessly every day for 3 hours.
Number two, there's no warning coming out. It's open season on you. That's it.
I'm gonna kick your ass.
No,
Marcus,
I'm gonna humiliate you.
I'm going to come
you.
Over there and we are going to fight and you will lose.
No, I'm just gonna hit you with every
you
shot
no
I can
idea
from here
how
on
mean
out.
I can you've get been, you've been when feeling I'm really angry oats. Marcus,
you sound like a dumbass.
You will get it. You're gonna get it, little mister. That is the Top 5 at 5 brought to you by G&J. Hey, you're going to get it. Free window tent from G&J tomorrow. Go to fanrunradio.com/tent right now. Get signed up. That's fanrunradio.com/TINT. The final free window tent Wednesday of the year. Tomorrow, you'll have two chances to win. John Reed's going to give away one at 2 p.m. on Talk Sports, and then we'll give away the final free window tent of the year at 5:30 here in about 24 hours. So go to fanrunradio.com/tent right now to win this fabulous gift and prize courtesy of our friends over at G&J Auto. Open lines the rest of the way. If you want to jump in, take a shot now. It's 865-546-8200. Your number to get on board, 546-8200. So GoVols247 posted a list of the early enrollees. These are current Tennessee football commits who will sign with the Vols on, I believe it's the 23rd. It's like really close to Christmas. The Wednesday before Christmas, I think, is National Signing Day. And then they will get to, at that point, enroll early and go through several bowl practices with Tennessee, which I don't know how useful that is, but these are the guys that are going to do that.
I think it gives the biggest benefit of it is it gives the coaching staff a chance to get an early look.
An evaluation process,
yeah,
for sure.
And see where they're at and, you know, how much they think that they're going to be able to rely on them.
So Nico is going to be here. Caleb Herring, the top-ranked player from the state of Tennessee, four-star edge rusher who chose the Vols over Georgia, Miami, and Southern Cal, dozens of other schools. He's also the younger brother of current freshman Elijah Herring. He will be here. Be good to get that wrapped up. Davin Hobbs, who is five stars on three, will be here as well. Be good to go ahead and get that one delivered. Cam Seldon, the four-star from up in Virginia, who could play wide receiver and running back, is going to be here. The four-star tight end, Ethan Davis from Suwanee, Georgia, will be here. The four-star cornerback, Jordan Matthews from Baton Rouge, nice, will be here. It's a big one. Four-star wide receiver, Nathan Leacock from Raleigh, will be here. Four-star offensive lineman, Shamirad Umarov from Alpharetta, Georgia,
nice,
will be here. I believe he is from Denmark originally. Maybe not. I'll check that. Four-star cornerback Ricky Gibson from Trussville, Alabama, who I understand Hugh Freeze is blowing up right now. Let's see if Tennessee can get that to the finish line. He's scheduled to be early enrollee. Linebacker Jalen Smith from Loganville, Georgia. Defensive lineman Nathan Robinson from Greenbrier High School, just north of Nashville, I believe. Christian Conyer from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Offensive lineman Vison Lang, another guy that Hugh Freeze is coming after. Safety John Slaughter. This is a lot of guys. Linebacker Jeremiah Tielander from Gainesville, Georgia. Who was the last linebacker we had from Gainesville, Georgia, Bear?
I'm drawing a blank, Bruss.
A.J. Johnson, the beast.
These are all going to be here for.
Yes.
That's the bulk of our class.
It's a good chunk. And safety Jack Luttrell, who was the first commitment in the class this year, is apparently heading here early. So, yeah, that's a lot of guys that will be there early and get to go through. I don't know if they really go through. Like, I don't think Tennessee's going to be disrupting practices to coach up a bunch of high school kids on how to go through them. But, like Bear said, it'll be a chance. Just get eyes on them, see how they move compared to other college players, and just sort of get their feet wet before they jump into winter workouts.
It also prevents, and he's on the screen behind you, Big Jowls freezes.
Somebody
really
could get that guy a razor before his. I mean, I'm no one to speak, but get that guy a razor before his press conference. You didn't know this is going to be on national television.
Yeah, he's got that basset hound look getting ready to start, doesn't he? His big jowls kind of drooping down. What a pig! What an absolute pig!
Was his opening statement very hypocritically Jesus-y?
Yeah, I mean, it's always there with him. There's undertones of it. And the part that I like is that he thinks that he should, I guess, be completely forget. Dude does not want to be made to feel guilty. That's what I pick up from him.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Not as bad as sociopathic football coaches, but I mean, he's by far not the – he's not alone.
He's getting going. He's getting rolling here.
I mean, he's not. I mean, it's an industry filled with guys with borderline personality disorders. So,
Taco.
I mean, do you want him to have more time tampering with our class?
No, I don't. Do you really want to let him have, like, if you're going to get warmed up on it?
No, just change
the
channel. I'm having to stare at his ugly face on that TV, and it's making me angry. I want to throw something at it, and I don't have the remote, so I don't know.
Yeah, you don't throw something at our TV. I mean, this is
I go buy
all of ours.
One.
You would break our TV just to not have to look at Hugh Freeze and go
no,
buy another
Russ,
one.
No, Russ, I wouldn't. I would probably just have to go through the rigmarole of getting up if you guys decided to be a couple of jack wagons and not change the damn channel. Since you guys have your back to it, or just turn the damn thing off, I just come over there and grab the
He's
remote.
He's not on there anymore.
That's cool.
So Taco on Twitter says that my dream is a sign that you know what is expected in your life, but you're in fear you won't meet those expectations.
That's the definition of a Vols fan?
Yes. Maybe a little bit. I think we all have that fear, right? We won't be able to meet our responsibilities in life. Part of being a man in modern America, I would say. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Thank you, Taco, for the advice. I'm going to ponder that here while we take a quick time out. Got the docket coming up, brought to you by Fox and Farmer. More of your phone calls on the way as well as you listen to The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this. The docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the car wreck pro attorneys. We didn't talk about this yesterday, but you guys see Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes.
Over the weekend doing OBJ stuff. Free agent wide receiver was kicked off a plane on Sunday after the flight crew reportedly observed him, quote, coming in and out of consciousness, according to Miami-Dade police. The crew feared Beckham was seriously ill after trying to wake him to put on his seatbelt and that his condition would worsen during the flight, so they called for police and a fire crew. Beckham reportedly would not leave the flight when asked by the crew, leading to the entire plane being evacuated. Beckham left the plane without incident when police arrived. What do you think he was on?
Who knows? I mean, I know people that have to get loaded to fly.
He's either drunk or on some sort of
Ambien
medication,
or,
right?
Yeah, some kind of pill or something. So, I don't know. He's also OBJ, and he may not have wanted to be bothered. He may have just been sleeping, and they kept waking him up, and he kept going right back to sleep. But I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't think that was it.
Substance was involved. His lawyer. And there's two sides to every story.
What is his lawyer's?
It was side? Very different from that. Basically, that he was, he wasn't being as disruptive as they were. That the airline overreacted.
Well, if the crew asks you to leave, I mean, you can go sue if you want, but you got to leave, man.
Once they ask you to, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. We have one. Once they tell you, you got to go. You got to go.
This might not be fair, but. There's a history here of Odell Beckham Jr. being a complete knucklehead. It's not hard at all to see him being disruptive on a plane and really inconveniencing a lot of people. Be really pissed off if I was on that plane. I think they're flying from Miami to L.A. and you have to get off the plane.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a pain in the rear end, but I mean, you see it if you're on social media. I mean, it happens like constantly. The one that was worse at that to me was this couple had a toddler on a flight over the weekend, and they were letting this kid jump up and down on the tray table, but he's, like, rocking this dude's seat.
Oh.
Like, at some point, I'm getting up.
Yeah.
I'm not even remotely – not saying anything about the child.
No, you just talked to – hey, excuse me, could you
get
please –
your kid.
Yeah, your kid's really rocking my seat here. It's very
that guy just sat there.
Annoying.
I mean, he did call for one of the flight attendants, but I'd be like, dude, come on now.
He really wants to avoid confrontation.
Yeah.
The flight attendant is going to walk up to you, standing right there with the people behind you, and you're going to explain to them, the kid behind me is driving me insane. Would you please do something about it?
What point are you telling the kid, sit your ass down?
No, I mean, you talk to his parents, right? I mean.
It just seems like it's so messed up for that kid's parents to put other adults into that situation.
Yeah. I was going to say, despite his annoyances, I'd still take OBJ.
You bring him to Titans.
Absolutely.
Right now?
Absolutely.
But what about disrupting team chemistry, Marcus?
What team chemistry?
What do you mean, what team chemistry? You got one of the best cultures in the locker in the NFL. Everybody says that.
I think.
You know, risk throwing Titans a firebomb into that in the middle of the season for a guy that may or may not be recovered from an ACL injury you suffered less than a year ago?
Rams did it. Went on to win the Super Bowl.
That was pre-knee injury, dude.
They brought him in mid-season.
He was a lot
more.
All
of our receivers are hurt.
Number one, lower your voice. Number two,
you're desperate,
OBJ was a known quantity pre-knee injury. You can't. That's apples and oranges, man. Yeah.
Okay, how about this? Robert Woods.
He doesn't have the baggage.
He had an injury.
Hold on. You brought him in at the beginning of free agency. You knew kind of what was going to be the deal there. You took a flyer on a guy who was a known great locker room guy. Like, people say that about Bobby Trees. Oh, he's a great guy to have on the team in the locker room. Leader, not disruptive. And that's what he's been. Okay, he's not explosive. He's not a number one. Like, that's fine. But he's a guy you want on your team. This is gambling. Like, you're bringing a guy in the middle of the season. And I'm not saying I'm totally against it. I'm just surprised that you are so just blindly for it.
I mean, he's had multiple stops, had problems that are.
He's a me guy.
Yeah, he causes problems in the locker room.
He's the prime diva receiver.
I'd say Robert. Well, he was able to help them win the Super Bowl last year. They wanted him back, but they just couldn't afford him.
You just like to argue when it comes to the Titans. No. You love to argue. Yes. No.
I will agree when good points are brought up. It's just that Bear hasn't brought up any good points.
You're gonna take a shot at me again?
Well, hold on. He didn't just bring up a point. He corrected you on some misinformation that you were spouting just a moment ago.
Which misinformation?
You were trying to compare the Rams bringing in OBJ last year to what the Titans would be bringing in this year. That's apples to oranges. Not a good comparison.
I think if you bring in any player midseason, it's you're testing the waters, whether it's a trade at the deadline, whether it's at this point in the season.
I said, if Vrabel and J-Rob, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But
I mean, it's not like they're tracking on making a big run in the playoffs or the Super Bowl. Why would you even risk? It's like Terry said, you were sitting here when Tifa, I mean, he describes the NFL people, they're very risk averse.
Well, I get that, but to me, you're going to the playoffs. Like you've pretty much won the division.
Yeah, but OBJ's not going to help you.
It's going to help you do more than...
All right, nobody's mind is being changed here. Let's move along. 13 individuals were arrested by the Anderson County Sheriff's Office in a warrant roundup called... Operation Thunder Chicken.
Why do they call it Thunder Chicken?
It's a good question. Anderson County Sheriff's Office deputies said those who were arrested had charges from felony violation of probation to vehicular homicide.
Jeez. Let's
see, we got one gal picked up, violation of probation, meth and theft. They go together. Female picked up for domestic violence. It's good to see. I mean, not the domestic violence, but that we're,
getting
women
off the streets. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, typically, like, I think it's men
it's
get.
It's a,
They don't go after the women as much, is all I'm saying. Felony probation and aggravated assault. Lots of felony probation here. Driving on a suspended license. Really? You didn't pick that up?
It's a conspiracy of silence. There's a lot of, I fear there's a lot of men that are. Just secretly living in terror, Russ.
No, I am. Criminal capias. No, criminal capias is?
No
it says,
clue.
Criminal capias was also in possession of a firearm and 1.3 pounds of marijuana.
That's a lot of weed. 1.3 pounds?
I'm not a grass expert.
A capias is a legal term that requires a law enforcement officer to take the body of the defendant into custody.
Huh.
Like they were missing a court date or something.
Maybe.
And they found him and he had some weed and guns on him. Operation Thunder Chicken, a rousing success.
So
they
just
went
and found him, or when I first saw it, or you first started talking, I was thinking there was going to be like one of the, remember those deals they used to offer people like free stuff?
Oh yeah,
they'd all show up and they were
the cops
busted.
Would storm out from behind the curtains.
Yeah,
you're all going to jail.
The looks on everybody's faces.
They thought they were getting a all expenses paid cruise to the Bahamas. Next thing you know, they're getting an all expenses
like
paid tickets. Trip
I think they did it
to
at Washington
County lockup.
They did it at a Washington football game years ago.
It's like a very Chris Hansen type of.
Have a seat right over here. That is the docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys, online at foxandfarmer.com. They are the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys. If you find yourself injured in an accident and in need of legal representation, these are the folks to call. They've got over 100 years of combined experience helping East Tennesseans get the settlements they deserve. They're going to stand up for you to protect you, make sure you are treated fairly. Their phone number, if you want to call and set up a free, no-obligation consultation, they don't get paid unless you get paid, 865-531-9400. That's the number, 865-531-9400. Again, that website, foxandfarmer.com. The Car Wreck Pro Attorneys, we're working our way through this Tuesday afternoon edition of The Drive. It's been action-packed. We have been discussing the college football playoff rankings that come out tonight. Most of the quote-unquote experts out there have the Volunteers pegged as seventh, right behind Alabama, which will be controversial, I'm sure. And we will find out those official rankings later on this evening. The U.S. Men's National Team advanced to the knockout phase of the World Cup via a thrilling 1-0 victory over Iran. Goal scorer Christian Pulisic was photographed in the hospital, says he will be back. It took him to the hospital. He had come out of that game. A lot of speculation out there what the injury is. The United States Soccer Federation says it is an abdominal injury. But there's a lot of speculation in social media land that the injury might have been to a lower extremity than the abdomen.
Between the waist and the knees.
Yes.
Huh. Saw another tweet where he was in the hospital smiling. He said he would be available on Saturday. So
that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
So if you'd like to jump in, now would be a great time. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on board. Tennessee basketball, fresh off their triumph in the Bad Boy Mowers Battle for Atlantis, back in action tomorrow night at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and/or Arena. The opponent will be McNeese State. Not exactly a household name in basketball, but should be a chance for Tennessee to really hammer somebody and get ready for the bigger games to come on the schedule. We've reached that point in the schedule where it's kind of eh. You know, guys are finishing up finals. You've got some you just played your big non-conference tournament thing down there in the Bahamas. Guys trying to finish up the semester strong academically. And you got McNeese State tomorrow night. You got Alcorn State on Sunday. Stevie McNair's alma mater.
McNeese State. That's what Jansen Jackson's dad. That was our other connection to them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was where he coached, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was that guy's name? He was the interim coach there for a minute, wasn't he?
Yeah. I cannot remember his father's name. Incredibly well thought of, I know. Respected.
Is Jansen Jackson still in prison?
I'm pretty sure. I don't.
Did he try and kill a guy or something?
He didn't try. He murdered his mother's boyfriend. During what sounds like he got on that spice stuff or bath salts. It kind of made him crazy. There was a bunch of them. He was by far the worst. But, I mean, remember Kim Dichie? Like, he did, like, a full-on, like, after-school special dive out of wasn't it like four stories he jumped?
I'm
or
not
something?
A grass expert.
It wasn't grass.
Stay off the drugs, kids. Don't smoke anything.
But yeah, he choked his mom's boyfriend to death with a lamp cord.
So we've got three games in a week starting tomorrow. McNeese State on Wednesday, Alcorn State on Sunday, and then Eastern Kentucky a week from tomorrow, Wednesday, December 7th, a date that will live in infamy. Not exactly a murderer's row for Rick Barnes.
No.
Lance Guidry?
Lance Guidry, that was his name.
Yeah. And according to this, in 2017, Jackson was convicted of voluntary manslaughter and sentenced to 11 years imprisonment and maximum sentence. His defense maintains that the killing was in self-defense.
What? So in 2016, you said?
2017, so he would still be there right now.
He's got a few more years.
Yeah.
Sad, man. Boy, he could really play.
I thought he was going to be like our next, just the way that he could hit. I was like,
he's a striker.
That was our
you remember the
Eric
hit
Berry.
He laid on the Florida player in the end zone
yeah.
in 2009, the Eric Berry game?
I remember the sound of it.
He just smacked somebody. And then he also had a personal foul in the Music City Bowl against North Carolina. It was completely unnecessary. That's kind of the way he played, man. He was living on the edge.
He actually made it to the NFL for a short time.
Really?
Yeah, he was part of the Giants practice squad in 2012.
That's sad, man.
Before going off to
it's been a long time, man.
CFL.
He could have played for a long time in the NFL if things had worked out better for him.
Yeah.
Got some screws loose.
Yeah, so not the next three games, probably no reason to rush Josiah back for any of those three, I would say.
Mm-mm.
And then we play Maryland in Brooklyn December 11th. I guess that's a week from this coming Sunday in the Hall of Fame Invitational. It's one of those games where I'd imagine there will be about 30 people in the stands.
Yeah. How's Maryland this year? I just like playing Maryland just because they were such a they were pretty high. I mean, I guess they still are.
Sure. The Terps back in the day when Gary Williams had things rolling up there.
John Johnson from Bearden went up there to play.
They're the ones that took Rutgers 37-0. The Terps.
And basketball?
Oh, we're talking about basketball. Sorry, I thought I was thinking I was still locked into football.
He's dialed in, ladies and gentlemen. Marcus Young, weekdays 3 to 6 here on Fan Run Radio. All right, I'll tell you what. We got a pair of tickets to the game tomorrow night against McNeese State. If you want to go see the basketball Vols and take a buddy or a kid or a date, what have you, this is a great opportunity. Our friends at Crown Cleaners are giving away a pair of tickets. This game is tomorrow. Tip-off is at 7:15. McNeese State at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. Be caller number 10 right now at 865-546-8200. That's 546-8200. Caller number 10 going to see the Vols play McNeese State at the arena tomorrow night. We'll let you know who won and wrap things up when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Congratulations to Emily, whose husband evidently got her addicted to the drive.
Oh, I need you to do, what time is the game tomorrow? I didn't know when she was asked.
Just a second ago, 7:15 p.m.
Ooh, I thought it was, we were trying to figure out if it was 7 or 7:30.
SEC Network has the telecast. You can split the difference, Emily. And get there a little bit early. Actually, I don't think that'll be a big crowd. You probably roll in right there.
Right at 7:05.
Get there at 7 o'clock, get yourself some popcorn.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Grab a seat. They're good seats. Appreciate Crown Cleaners allowing us to give these seats away. And another one of our fine sponsors for many years now. They've been doing it for a long time over there at Crown Cleaners. Over 50 years providing Imperial dry cleaning service to all of Big Orange Country. They got two locations in West Knoxville. Kingston Pike on Bearden Hill over there across from Krispy Kreme. And North Shore Drive. You could save time, money, and gas with pickup and delivery. Visit crowncleaners.com. Click on the big blue van to learn more about that. Locally owned and operated, fan-run owned and operated business, Crown Cleaners, a tradition of excellence. Wrapping up. on a Tuesday evening edition of the show. The Overtime Boys are here. They are fired up, ready to take you through the 8 p.m. hour tonight. So the Shamrod Umarov played at Denmark High School in Alpharetta, Georgia. Correction. He was born into a Turkish family originally from Russia. He's lived in Georgia since he was very young, and he will come to play for the Big Orange later this month, going through a couple of bowl practices as one of the early enrollees.
Who else have we gotten out of Alpharetta?
I thought you were going to say, who else have we gotten out of Russia?
I don't think we've ever had any. We had, Ritzman was Germany.
Golish is from Russia. From Russia with love.
Nice. Alex Golish.
If you're Cincinnati, have you seen like their candidate list, according to some?
No. Is he on it?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Apparently he's from Ohio.
I mean, he's a finalist for the Broyles Award. Incredibly well thought of. He is the offensive coordinator. I mean, I know that he is the offensive coordinator for the number one offense in America.
Dennis Dodd, who is on the list, not in any order, gives his three candidates for it. Mike Tressel.
Is that Jim's kid?
It must be, right?
Yeah.
Why not just hire Jim?
How old's Jim now?
Probably pretty old. Jesse Minter. I don't know who that is. And Kevin Wilson.
Jesse Minter?
Mm-hmm.
Minter, I feel like, is one of those like college football, pro football kind of names. I think there's been several guys named Minter.
Wasn't there a Kevin Minter at
I believe
one point?
So. Was there a Byron or Brian Minter?
That sounds familiar.
It's kind of like Bailey at Georgia. And
yeah, there's a Kevin Minter in the NFL.
Yeah.
Wasn't Kevin Wilson, wasn't he the head coach at Indiana for a minute?
That name is so.
I'm just so glad we don't have to have these conversations. Like, I was looking at South Carolina's offensive coordinator shortlist on one of their boards, and it was all these names that you've heard of that we've talked about at one point or another from one of our various offensive coordinator searches. And it's just like,
It's a group of
coaching
guys.
Coaching retreads.
Yeah, exactly.
Which,
but we are on the same boat if he does decide to make a change on the other side of the ball.
True. But isn't there a lesson to be learned there? Like when you first heard the name Alex Golish, you were probably like, Heifel's just bringing his guys with him.
Yeah, I know. What we thought was at the time, I don't know if we talked about it on air, was that we probably did.
Can they even recruit in this
no,
league?
No, if it was going to be like when Butch brought all his boys, remember?
Yeah. Well, and now it's like, well, we've got the hot young – we've got the new thing, man. We've got the – like nobody else has it. And I'm with Dan Harrelson. Who's Dan Wilson?
He's an actor, isn't he?
Was he one of the Beach Boys?
No.
Anyway.
Brian.
He – who's the one who drowned?
Dennis.
Yeah, he was in with Manson.
Yeah, he was friends with him.
There is a musician called Dan Wilson. So
Dennis Wilson's the reason Sharon Tate and all those poor people got murdered that night.
Look familiar?
No, Charles Manson is the reason that all those poor people got
murdered. He set the things in motion. No, that was his house.
One of them. Anyway, let's not get bogged down in the Manson family murders. Yeah. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, the Golish. Cincinnati job and Alex Golish. I don't think he brought. I don't think he gets that job, but I would interview him for sure if I were Cincinnati. I also saw, I think it was Bruce Feldman said that maybe who's the guy at Iowa State? I'm blanking.
Matt Campbell.
He's saying maybe he goes to Cincinnati. And I know, like, I'm reading that thinking, wait a minute, why would you go from Iowa State in the Big 12 to Cincinnati? He was going to the Big 12, but it's a step down, isn't it?
I don't think so anymore.
Maybe not in the future, but his logic was Matt Campbell is from Ohio. He coached at Toledo. He recruits Ohio all the time, and it would be easier to recruit Ohio from Cincinnati, and if you're going into the Big 12, then what's the difference? I would say if that's the move Matt Campbell makes after how long have we been talking about him as the next big thing, at least 4 years, maybe five, right?
Yeah. He's running out of time.
He might have run out. He might have missed his window.
Yeah, I mean, right now they're 4-8 this year.
Yeah, they are trounced. 4-8, but they're what? How many years? I mean,
he's had Fickle's some good seasons.
He's had them playing it hell of a lot better than Tennessee.
2020 was his best season at Iowa State, where they went 9-3, 8-1 in conference.
Is that the year they lost to Georgia? And they had that game won. They let George off the mat.
Is Alex Golish going from working for Matt Campbell at Iowa State to going to working for Josh Heupel at UCF the greatest contrast in offensive systems as far as switching? Maybe I'm being unfair. I don't really know much about Iowa State's offense other than it seems like they are in a lot of 24-17 games.
I don't know. I never watch them. I really haven't. I have no idea what system that guy runs.
It feels like that was a big step from going from conservative to wide open.
The thing I always thought about, I never, did he ever really get you very excited when his name got mentioned for our job? That guy? Matt Campbell? He's not somebody that I would have broken the bank for to try and get him out of Iowa State.
I think that's partly why he never moved. It sounds like he's pretty picky about where he would go. But I also think that when these big SEC schools have come up, whether it's us or Auburn or South Carolina or LSU, or you know, his name is always in those lists. But I think some of the bigger schools, the really want-to-win schools, were kind of like, I don't know if this guy wants to win enough for us. Like, is he gonna get his elbows dirty and,
yeah,
you know, get in this bare knuckled fight we call SEC football? And I think for like a job like South Carolina or Missouri or something, perfect, like, he's probably, no, I think he probably looks at that as like, why would I leave Iowa State to go there?
Oh, sure. But as a fan base, if we get even a whiff of that coming off of you, why would we want you?
Like, if he hadn't gone 4-8, if he had gone 9-3, had another one of his 10-2 years, Nebraska would probably be beating down his door, right?
Sure.
That's what I'm saying when I say that I think he might have missed his window.
How do you think Rule's going to do it, Nebraska?
I don't know, man, because I thought Scott Frost would kill it. I thought he'd get them turned around and everything, so that makes me wonder if it's an impossible job.
Does he run the super spread?
Who, Rule?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what he did at Baylor.
He was pretty conservative, as I recall. He's a defensive guy.
And he's taken Satterfield from South Carolina as his OC. But they were together at Temple.
Yeah.
They've been together at two different places.
The scuttlebutt about Satterfield was that Freddie Kitchens was basically
tampering,
calling the play. Well, not tampering. Like, they basically demoted him after the Florida debacle, and that's why they were so much better against, which, like, why wouldn't you just hire him as OC if that's true?
Yeah.
Just going to point out, it wouldn't have been an impossible job if they hired me, but that's okay. We'll move past that. I was going to say Alex Golish is from, born in Russia, but his alma mater is Ohio State.
Mother Russia.
So, obviously, I think we agree that probably a smaller job like Cincinnati would be a good stepping point for him. There's been a lot of people questioning Ryan Day, both blue checks and fans.
Yep.
You think Golish waits maybe another year with Tennessee and see what happens
Ohio State's not going to hire a coordinator to be their head coach. I'd be stunned unless it came from within.
I wonder.
They're going to go after a name.
There's one other player that came from Alpharetta we missed.
Is it Josh?
One Joshua Dobbs.
That's what I thought. We haven't gotten a lot of kids at Alpharetta, though, right?
I don't know.
Which, unfortunate news with him being waived after Watson came back. Hopefully he gets picked up somewhere.
Georgia just gets so confusing because there's so many kids, so many big-time players coming out of so many different – like, all those places sound familiar to me. You know what I mean?
I'm just sitting here in stunned silence after seeing a news item come across my desk here that the quote-unquote Liver King has been busted for steroid and HGH use.
Oh, you hadn't heard about that? It's not the raw meat making him big. It's damn Russian horse steroids he's been gobbling.
Was that his thing? He only eats raw meat?
Yeah, just know about it from
the really talk. Dangerous?
Yeah, the Talk Sports guys were Cody apparently is very familiar with him. Yeah, he eats like raw, like he eats meat raw. He eats like deer hearts.
Yeah,
he's like insane. So supposedly
insane
there's
the membrane.
Cody said there's some kind of documentary on Netflix about him or some show.
Yeah, I'm seeing pictures of him. You don't get looking like that.
Just all yoked out. I've never seen him. I've just heard about the guy.
He's pretty cut up.
You ever had steak tartare? I'm just trying with. You don't think you could eat anything, any raw
ever
meat?
Ever been in a Turkish prison?
I've had it one time. It was kind of good. It was different.
I don't like eating stuff raw. Cook it a little bit, man. That's what I say.
I mean, sometimes certain restaurants will serve it.
Is that an animal? Yes. Put it over fire, man. Burn it a little bit. Bring it to me. Not burn it. Like, doesn't that be charred, but cook it a little bit. Yeah.
Like a good mid-rare.
You imagine the thrill, the first human, the first Homo sapien to cook some meat? Like
over a fire and get a little flavor.
I mean,
it?
People must have thought he's crazy. Like, Dave, what are you doing? Are you putting that squirrel in that fire? He's like, no, trust me, this is a good idea. And probably nobody would taste it. He's like, you got to try this.
Even better, like salt, like seasonings.
That would be good, too. Probably a good time to go ahead and put a fork in this one.
Yeah. Covered a lot of ground today.
All right. College football playoff rankings coming out. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Overtime, headed your way next, right here on Fan Run Radio.